The No Harbor for Genocide campaign is targeting what it calls ships of death bound for Israel. The campaign has already succeeded in forcing the tanker Overseas Santorini to reroute. Adrian Pine is a professor of anthropology at the California Institute of Integral Studies and the coordinator of the International Coalition to Stop Genocide in Palestine. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg.
What is the No Harbor for Genocide plan all about, or what would you call it, a campaign?
Sure. The No Harbor for Genocide campaign really began in earnest a few weeks ago because a number of us from different organizations, the one that I represent, as well as the Disrupt Power, SOMO in the Netherlands, and various other sort of research groups have been following these two ships, the two tankers from the overseas group called the Overseas Santorini and the Overseas Suncoast, that for many years now have been the exclusive transporters of the J-8 jet fuel that Israel needs for its air fleet, to fuel its entire air fleet. That comes from a Valero refinery in Corpus Christi, Texas, and then it is shipped across the Atlantic through the Mediterranean to the port of Ashkelon in Israel. So what we realize is that since countries are refusing to enact the blockade that social movements are demanding and that is required of them under the Genocide Convention to not be complicit in genocide, that social movements really need to step up and create a people's blockade. And so what we did a few weeks ago was really to put out a call to action and to reach out to social movements in, first of all, the countries where the ships have historically docked, primarily Spain and Cyprus, but then also to create a plan throughout the Mediterranean to make sure that nations know, that governments know, that allowing the ship to dock will be breaching international law and also making them complicit in genocide and subject to legal prosecution at the ICC as well. And then also taking many actions, actions at the port, mobilizing unions, speaking to port authorities to ensure that this ship, the Overseas Santorini, which just passed through the Strait of Gibraltar, will not find harbor in any Mediterranean country, will not be able to refuel. And ultimately, obviously, the goal is to prevent the jet fuel from reaching Israel, where it is exclusively being used in a genocide against Palestinians.
Is this similar to what's been going on the West Coast, where people are blocking Israeli ships at the port of Oakland and probably in other West Coast cities? Or if it is this a much bigger, broader effort?
We definitely applaud the efforts of people who have been trying to block the boats on the West Coast, and it's an inspiration. This effort is, I think, a more coordinated effort focused on a specific supply chain, but then aimed ultimately at building out a network that can prevent all tankers carrying weapons, ammunition, and oil to Israel, as opposed to just sort of direct action, or not a as opposed to, but in addition to direct action, we're really going on many, many fronts, legal fronts, political fronts, and media, to make it impossible for the ships to go, not just from direct action, but making it clear to politicians, to governments, to port authorities, that they will be held accountable for being complicit in genocide if they allow this ship to dock or to pass through their waters. And so it's aimed to be a coordinated effort that is much more like what we saw against apartheid South Africa, which of course had the coordination of dock workers, port workers around the world had a tremendous impact in the end of apartheid in South Africa.
What do these ships do? Do you know if they can't get to the ports of their destination? You know, the Houthis were attacking ships in the Red Sea, and then the U.S. and the U.K. were firing back to get those ships out. So I guess you would expect some sort of retaliation by the Israelis or their Western allies.
Well, we're not, you know, we don't have the same tactics as Ansar Allah. Obviously, what they have achieved in the Red Sea, it certainly is the only example of a blockade. It's the only example of a state, Yemen, taking seriously its obligation under the Genocide Convention to prevent a genocide from happening. But we're not using those tactics. We're not bombing the ships. We're not, you know, we're not shooting at them. We're using the tactics that are by and large legally available to us to effect this blockade. And so it would be, I think it would be difficult for Israel to retaliate militarily in most places in the Mediterranean in the way that it has in the Red Sea. I mean, I would never say never. It's Israel. We've seen how they've been acting completely outside of the law, including, you know, in Lebanon and Iran. But I think that certainly we are going to see a ramping up. We're, you know, obviously Israel is aware of this. It's been in the media all over Europe. And, you know, and likely NATO is going to get involved at a deeper level. It's important to know that these two ships are not only carrying fuel on behalf of the U.S. military and the U.S. government, but they are also basically deputized to act as ships for the Department of Defense. They're, well, they oversee Santorini as part of what's called the Tanker Security Program of the U.S. military, which means that in a sort of a, in an instance of emergency, the U.S. military can basically take over the ship and use it for whatever purposes it wants. So it's already clearly militarily aligned. Its sister ship, the Overseas Sun Coast, which also carries jet fuel to Israel and does other runs as well, is currently stationed at a U.S. military base in Spain at Rota. So their military connections and their NATO connections are very, very clear.
So it's totally impractical and maybe impossible to fly in the fuel?
Yeah, there's more fuel than could be flown in. So it would be impractical, impossible really to fly in this quantity of fuel. We're talking about 300,000 barrels of fuel, which for reference is capable of refueling an F-16 fighter jet, the kind that Israel uses 12,000 times. So that's a lot of flights we're talking about. It's a lot of bombs dropped. It's a lot of Palestinian lives and families destroyed. So that is more than a plane could carry. And also it couldn't be transferred to a plane. You know, it would have to dock. It would be a tremendously complicated process. Of course, it is likely that the ship will reach Israel this time around, in part because it's a very large tanker. It should have enough fuel to be able to get there without docking. So it's possible that we won't be able to stop it this time around. But what we're hoping is that with this trip, countries will become so mobilized that it will ensure that this ship is a pariah and that it won't be able to refuel on the way back either. Generally, it stops at Limassol in Cyprus, for example. So what we are trying to ensure is that there is no port in the Mediterranean or, frankly, on the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico coast of the southern United States, where the ship will be able to dock in the future.
And so, if it did dock, if these ships did dock in ports other than in Israel, could the fuel then be transported by train or truck?
It's conceivable, but it would be very difficult, is my understanding. I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain of that answer, but I do not believe that it is transportable in that way, given how it is currently contained and the mechanisms needed for offloading it.
So potentially this campaign could have the effect of stopping the supply chain to Israel, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal. The goal of this campaign is to stop the supply chain that is making the genocide possible. We want to stop fueling the genocide, quite literally.
The coalition that you've built up, you mentioned some of the players there. Would you say it's totally international at this point, or is it more like
we've got a massive international coalition working on this campaign, and it's really thrilling, to be honest. We've got endorsers since we issued the call to action just a couple weeks ago. As I mentioned, we're working with Progressive International, La Via Campesina, the largest peasant organization in the world, has endorsed and is actively collaborating. And we have organizations in just about every Mediterranean country that are very engaged, that are very active, because this represents really one of the first options for concrete actions that we can take as people who aren't politicians, as social movements, to end this genocide that our politicians, that our states are refusing to take action against.
Logistically and practically, this is something that can succeed probably better than trying to break the Gaza blockade at this point, would you say?
Yeah, breaking the Gaza blockade, really, you know, it all depends on Israel. I mean, Israel is not backing down, and the states, are not pressuring them. The United States is not, the Biden administration has no interest clearly in pressuring Israel. Every red line that he has supposedly placed has been crossed tenfold, and we're doing nothing. So obviously it's atrocious that Israel has used starvation as genocide, that it has bombed Gaza's main water supply, and we need to fight against that. But right now we have a chance to stop the actual vehicles of genocide, which are the planes that their army uses. So we can stop that form of killing, and we need to do it.
Do you know if the Israelis are almost out of jet fuel, or that's probably secret information?
Well, I know they're going through it very quickly, and they've been loading. The ship has been going to Israel and unloading this massive amount of jet fuel every 2 months since October 7th, and actually for years before that as well. And so we know they're going through that, and they do need to be replenished. So we aim to stop that so that their jets will be grounded.
And then they would still have ground troops to send into Gaza. Maybe they would stop the bombing, but they would not stop the killing, that kind of thing.
That's true. Although, of course, the vast majority of the deaths have been a result of the bombing campaign from Israel. So it would dramatically reduce their ability to indiscriminately murder as part of this genocide the indigenous Palestinian population, and they would have to rely exclusively on ground troops. And of course that would be a huge win, because it would prevent so many more people from being murdered.
And this is a jet fuel. This doesn't apply to helicopter gunships.
It's J-8 jet fuel, and other types of military fuel have historically been transported from the Valero refinery in Corpus Christi, Texas, to Israel. So J-8 fuel is what most of the Israeli Air Force uses, as I understand. Not my area of expertise, really, but I can say that without this, most of its fleet will not be able to function.
And anything else you want to add to what you said?
We think it's incredibly important for social movements to connect. I think movements have been operating, making demands of their individual governments. And it's time that we look at supply chains, because they are very much international. And this genocide is international in its sourcing. And only by collaborating on an international scale and on a massive scale can social movements stop the supply chain of death.
And is it true that Germany is also a major supplier of weapons to Israel?
Germany is the second largest supplier of weapons to Israel after the United States. And that's, of course, why Nicaragua brought the case against them at the ICJ for complicity under the Genocide Convention. Although that hasn't turned out as we would like, we very much support Nicaragua in that effort, because frankly, Germany is deeply complicit in this genocide, just as deeply as the United States.
But they're not sending ships, because as you say, they come from Corpus Christi.
I mean, this particular jet fuel, we're talking about one particular product. It's the J-8 jet fuel. So Germany is sending plenty of other stuff, as I understand. I mean, it's sending many weapons. But this campaign, at this moment, we're focusing on fuel.
That's Adrian Pine of the International Coalition to Stop Genocide in Palestine, speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on August 12th, 2024.